Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington.
And I'm Lucy Pony, also in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Thursday, November 6th, 2014. President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar meet at IGAD Heads of Summit on South Sudan's conflict in Addis Ababa.
The government does want to share power actually with the rebel, provided that it doesn't undermine the constitutional setting.
And a leader of a South Sudanese political party accuses both the government and the rebel leaders of being only concerned about wealth, power, and not the people of South Sudan.
The SPLM government is oblivious to the catastrophic destruction of in lives and property, the prodigious number of the displaced within and without South Sudan, since it will emerge at the end of this horrid war as the only beneficiary of power in the government of the country.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus.
South Sudanese President Salva Kiir is in Addis Ababa today for a summit of leaders of the Intergovernmental Authority on Development, or IGAD, the regional bloc mediating the peace talks for South Sudan. The aim of the summit is to finally end more than 10 months of fighting between the government and rebels led by former Vice President Riek Machar. For VOA News, Waki Simon Wudu has this story from Juba.
Mr. Kiir's spokesman, Atene Wek Atene, says it is hoped that sticking points that have been blocking peace in South Sudan will be resolved at the summit in Addis Ababa. Atene says that key issues that need to be sorted out are
the nature of transitional government and how the powers could be shared between the president and the prime minister. The government does want to share power actually with the rebel, provided that it doesn't undermine the constitutional setting.
Early last month, IGAD adjourned the talks in Addis Ababa after the two main parties to South Sudan's conflict, the government and Machar's opposition group, failed to agree on what powers should be given to a prime minister of South Sudan, a new position that could be part of a transitional government. The two parties are expected to make progress at this latest round of talks on other major issues too, including reforms to the transitional constitution and to security. Atene says security reforms continue to be a big sticking point at the talks. He blames that on the rebels' insistence that
the rebels are actually footing a very draconian demand by saying that their leader should remain as a commander-in-chief of the forces, which are actually supposed to be absorbed according to the government. Some of them, they wanted to maintain the army for 30 months. If you allow them to have an army in that 30 months, then it is like, you just postpone the problem of today for tomorrow.
Mr. Kiir is also expected to hold face-to-face talks in Addis with the Machar, Atene says. The two leaders have only met a handful of times since fighting erupted in Juba last December. The first IGAD-led talks to end the conflict in South Sudan were held in January 10 months ago. At the end of those talks, the warring sides signed a cessation of hostilities agreement, but it was violated within a few hours. In the fighting that followed, more than 10,000 people have died and around 1.8 million people have been displaced. Aid agencies are warning that the country is teetering on the edge of famine unless peace is restored. For VOA News, I am Wake Simon Wudu from Juba.
The UN Security Council has added its voice to an international chorus condemning new fighting in South Sudan and calling on President Salva Kiir and his rival in the conflict, Riek Machar, to show a real commitment to end the violence. Australian Ambassador to the UN, Gary Quinlan, said members of the Security Council are outraged at the recent resumption of hostilities between the SPLA and opposition forces in Unity State and along Sobat River in Upper Nile State. The United States and IGAD condemned the new hostilities last week. Quinlan, who is president of the Security Council this month, condemned the government and rebel sides for resuming hostilities, saying they have both displayed a lack of commitment to peace in South Sudan.
It's very fair to say there's a growing sense of frustration among council members about the unwillingness, or seeming unwillingness, if you like, of the parties to abandon their commitment to their own military strategies for a military solution and engage meaningfully in the peace process. This becomes a much bigger worry as we move from the wet season, as we are doing now, to the dry season, which makes military operations so much easier, so much more lethal.
He warned the warring sides that the Security Council plans to begin negotiations soon on imposing targeted sanctions against those impeding the peace process in South Sudan.
Without going into detail, I'd say there's considerable interest among many council members to look very closely at applying targeted sanctions and also for many an arms embargo. And that'll be a subject of great interest, I think, in the next couple of weeks.
The United States, Canada and the European Union have already imposed sanctions on military leaders on both sides of the conflict. Quinlan says civilians were killed and wounded during the latest clashes in South Sudan, but did not specify how many. He says the renewed fighting is magnifying an already serious humanitarian crisis, which has displaced more than 1.8 million South Sudanese, and called for an immediate end to the violence.
We have a major humanitarian crisis in South Sudan. It's one of OCHA's four level three humanitarian crises currently in the world, the highest level.
Quinlan reiterated the UN's backing for the IGAD-led peace talks for South Sudan. He called on President Kiir and Machar to use a planned for face-to-face meeting at the upcoming IGAD summit to reach agreement on the makeup of a transitional government of national unity. In his statement, Quinlan also condemned the detention of three staff members of the UN mission in South Sudan and the abduction of two UN workers. He called for their safe release and recalled the threats and attacks on United Nations personnel and facilities may constitute a violation of international law.
A veteran South Sudanese politician is lashing out at the ruling party for barring other political parties from taking part in the peace talks aimed at ending South Sudan's conflict. Presidential spokesman says parties are free to participate in the talks in Ethiopia, as we hear from Charlton Doki in Juba.
Peter Abdulrahman Sule, head of the opposition United Democratic Front Party, says late last month, an IGAD mediation committee official visited Juba to meet with President Salva Kiir and leaders of opposition political parties. Sule claims government officials told the unnamed IGAD official not to meet with opposition politicians. He says the SPLM does not care about the welfare and unity of the people of South Sudan.
The SPLM in government is oblivious to the catastrophic destruction of in lives and property, the prodigious number of the displaced within and without South Sudan, since it will emerge at the end of this horrid war as the only beneficiary of power in the government of the country, and as such, its only concern is how much power and wealth it will curve out for itself in the peace negotiations, hopefully with IGAD complacence.
Presidential spokesman Atenywek Ateny strongly disagrees.
The government did not refuse anybody to meet political parties. It is their prerogative to talk to anybody they wanted to talk to. The government doesn't control political parties, even the political parties that are in government, that are not SPLM.
Sule says both the SPLM in government and the SPLM in opposition are only focused on division of wealth and power at the expense of citizens who continue to suffer.
The SPLM in government, with its crave for power and wealth, as well as unlimited term of rule over the suffering and downtrodden humanity in the country, turn but a deaf ear and a blind eye to the colossal disintegration of trust, confidence and harmony among the ethnic, tribal and cultural entities of this unlucky nation.
Ateny denies the accusation and describes Sule as someone who will oppose anything the government does.
He will never say that the government is doing something good. Those who are sponsoring him cannot continue to sponsor him. He admit that he has a good relationship with the government, or he admit that the government is the government that is doing things correctly.
Heads of state from the IGAD region are holding a summit in Addis Ababa today in hopes of laying the groundwork for a successful outcome of the current round of talks between the two warring parties. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
Yesterday, we reported that Information Minister Michael Makuei issued an order removing Khamis Abdel Latif from his post as Director General of South Sudan National Radio and Television after only 4 weeks on the job. Since that report, we were able to reach Makuei by phone, and he says Abdel Latif was not fired but only transferred to ministry headquarters. He tells VOA fellow Nabil Biagio that dismissing the Director General of SSTV is something he did not and cannot do.
The order which I issued was not a dismissal. It was a transfer to the headquarters, to the ministry headquarters. Transfer within the ministry is the sole responsibility of the minister. It is the dismissal that cannot happen, and I can't do it.
The manner in which it was done was not very courteous. Like, there were security agents, even military people, who were sent to SSTV premises. Why did it have to be this way?
Well, in actual fact, this is also a misleading report, because what happened, I wrote the order, it was sent to him, he decided to take the order and went away with it. That was in day one. In the second day, he did not also report to the radio, and the security went there to secure the place.
Now, Mr. Khamis Abdel Latif accuses you. He says the reason he was removed from his position was because you wanted to control certain funds and divert them, funds that were meant for TV projects.
Khamis Abdel Latif does not even know anything about this ministry. In the first place, we have no funds. With the austerity measures, we have no funds. All that we are getting are the running costs, and he's the one who is in charge of them, not me. And he found this process already there. And if he has any funds which he believes that it was under his control and that I have decided to remove him so that he controls the funds, then it that is a very unfortunate statement, and it is not substantiated by anything. We have no funds as such. That is one. Number two, the digital migration project is a separate project which is funded through a loan from the Exim Bank, and we will not even see the money. The money will be paid directly to the Chinese company that will be implementing the project. The man is trying to create a situation which is not there, and the fact that it is transferred does not mean that it is dismissed.
Apparently, he didn't understand it as a transfer. So what is the new position that you're putting him in?
Well, I have transferred him to the headquarters, and there in the headquarters there are so many vacant positions where he can be fitted in.
But for now, he's like suspended?
He's not suspended. He is transferred. I don't know, how do you understand all these terminologies?
Because he was removed
because
from his...
Because when you are transferred, you are not suspended. And when you are dismissed, that is a difference. That means when you are dismissed or when your service is terminated, that is the dismissal. But if you are transferred, this is a normal thing that happens in the civil service. Unless you are telling us that they should not have been transferred.
It seems to me the only way to clear this confusion is if you inform the person that you're being transferred from this position to this other position.
You want me to inform him and tell him and tell you that I transfer him? Because these are mere administrative issues which have nothing to do with the public.
That was South Sudan's Information Minister Michael Makuei speaking to VOA fellow Nabil Biagio yesterday from Ethiopia.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, officials say conditions at health facilities in Abyei are deteriorating. That story when we come back.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today, How can different communities learn to live together peacefully?
Well, the best, because if they have the same culture, it's easier. But if you live with people from other cultures, you have to learn how to, at least to learn more about their culture, to understand them, their ways. But if it's something that has to do with health or beliefs, no? There's something that's against your faith now, then you have to say, no, it's against my faith.
The watchword is love. And my watchword is pure love. But you have to start with love to get to pure love. Pure okay. love is very, very difficult. It comes from God. That is what keeps the community going.
Each community should be tolerant, accept other with their difference, accept their culture, their religion. Be tolerant.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
Leaders of the GA community have agreed in a three-day consultative meeting in Juba to drop their bid to be part of Eastern Equatorium. The GA live in Boma County along the border of Jonglei and Eastern Equatoria states. Philip Aleu reports from Juba.
Abraham Natabo Nyitak, who speaks on behalf of the GA community, says as a condition of accepting Boma rebel leader David Yao Yao at the head of the Greater Pibor administrative area, the poor GA clans of Boma County demand the creation of their own county and a presidency on local political establishments.
If our demands are not addressed, it won't be easy for us to be in Greater Bibor administrative area. So we also raise the issues of the child abductions, the issue of cattle raiding, the Iowa killings, then and the child and women abductions. So we also raise this issue so that if it is the new administration, we'll be in a position to address this issue. So definitely we will actually be part of that. And if that won't be there, so it is meaningless for us to be there.
Nyitak says child abductors are still active in Greater Pibor area, which he blames on neighbors. He says the GA community in Jonglei State have agreed to recognize David Yao Yao as their leader, but those in Eastern Equatoria State will remain in Eastern Equatoria State. Bishop Paul Yugusuk of the Episcopal Church, who led the consultative meeting funded by the European Union, says his team made it clear to the GA elders, chiefs, and intellectuals during the three-day summit that it is not legally possible to merge the tribe in the same ways and split them in other ways.
We don't want to cause any confusion. Those who are in Greater, let them remain in Greater. And those who are in Eastern Equatoria, they should remain in Eastern Equatoria. What we need is coexistence. Inter and intra reconciliation is very important. So as church leaders, we are very happy, and then we'll move from here to Boma so that the peace is sustainable.
Bishop Yugusuk says there are no basic health, water, or infrastructural facilities in the GA area or the entire Greater Pibor administrative area for that matter. He says that requires intervention from the national government and international development partners.
GA needs a special attention, a special support. We will talk to our partners to give them emergency. They use the traditional medicine. We have been using that, but of course, we need to improve our services. We need to take town to our people. There is a lot of challenge. It's not easy, but I believe it's possible when there is peace, when they come together, when they have focus.
David Yao Yao is speaking at the end of the meeting, says he will respond to the demands in consultation with the GA elders and the office of President Salva Kiir. Yao Yao says there are no resources at his disposal to make any promises now.
One of your concerns here is addressing of the child abduction and innocent killing among the entire communities. But who has done this? I believe it is ourselves. But since we have known that it was not a good step forward, then we need to sit together and resolve it ourselves.
Yao Yao says he agrees with the GA that underdevelopment is a problem in Greater Pibor, but he says that is a national issue. He says what is of utmost importance now is restoring peace in every corner of the country. Yao Yao was appointed by President Kiir to lead Greater Pibor administrative area in July as part of the agreement signed with the government in May. For VOA News, I am Philip Tonaleu in Juba.
Medical charity group Doctors Without Borders, or MSF, says hundreds of people in South Sudan have died of malaria in recent months following a sharp rise in incidence of the disease. The group blames the ongoing conflict in the country for the rising death toll from malaria. As Munguma Dev's Rakarenji reports from Juba, MSF says fighting in parts of South Sudan is preventing many people from getting hold of anti-malaria drugs.
Brian Muller, the head of MSF in South Sudan, says health officials were caught unaware by the surge of malaria cases in recent months.
The fight against malaria this year is particularly hard and difficult for our teams. We first gave a heads up back in May, June, when we saw an increase in malaria cases presenting to the Awil Hospital. The last big peak that we saw was back in 2012. This year we were expecting around about 4,000 cases in line with the last big peak in 2012. But so far we've treated 23,000.
Muller says the ongoing conflict in the north and east of the country has diverted attention away from persistent health care concerns like malaria. The preventable mosquito-borne illness is now affecting other parts of the country too, he says. He says distribution of anti-malaria drugs has been insufficient in South Sudan, particularly in remote health centers. Muller says health officials in northern Bahar al-Ghazal state did not receive anti-malaria supplies until August, even though the disease is a problem in the region year-round. Another problem, Muller says, is that many people have to walk long distances to get treatment.
Prioritisation was given to the primary healthcare centres, to the major primary healthcare centres, but unfortunately the primary healthcare units couldn't get supplied. So the people living in the remote and rural areas had no access to treatment. And what's been happening is they've been coming to the hospital for treatment. They often arrive late and in a very advanced state of illness, which requires even more intervention.
Muller says heavy rains have also delayed supplies. As a result, some people have died before help arrives. He cites the situation at Awei State Hospital as an example.
It is quite serious. I mean, 76% of the patients that we're admitting into the hospital are coming in for malaria. For the month of September, out of a total of 32 deaths, 23 were for malaria.
Muller says children under 5 and pregnant women are most vulnerable to the disease. But he says MSF is doing all it can to fight malaria.
We've responded in many ways. We've opened up outpatient department within the hospital, extended our inpatient department. We started up mobile clinics running out to the Awil counties, and we're also doing mosquito net distribution.
Muller says MSF will not relent in its fight against malaria and is calling on other humanitarian aid organizations to help reach and treat people in South Sudan who have the disease. Malaria kills 660,000 people around the world every year, MSF says, mostly in sub-Saharan Africa. For VOA News, I am Mugume Dev Sirwakarinj in Juba.
More than 100 workers have lodged a formal complaint with the Labour Office in Wau against Sudan's Ayat Company. Some of the workers for the company, which builds roads and bridges and digs boreholes, say they have not been paid for nearly 2 years. Officials at the company's headquarters in Khartoum promised to pay the workers within 2 months, but say the crisis in South Sudan has impacted their operations. VOA fellow Michael Atit has more.
Peter Arcangelo Dabura has been a driver for the Iyat company for more than 7 years, for nearly a third of that time without pay.
I have worked for more than 22 months without getting paid. We just want our right to be given to us by the company, and we are ready to continue working with them. Unless, of course, they decide to lay us off, which is also fine.
Muhammad Ahmed Ali is the project coordinator for Iyat Company in South Sudan. He says the company is doing everything it can to make sure the employees are paid soon.
We are working for all this time to get money from other sources, to have some projects in Sudan. We'll be able to pay these people all their entitlements in the coming 1 or 2 months.
Ahmed says the 10.5-month crisis in South Sudan is a big reason why Iyat cannot pay the workers.
Definitely it affects our operations very greatly. The projects are shut down. No work is going there. We haven't been able to pay our people.
Ahmed admits the crisis in South Sudan is not an excuse not to pay the workers, but it has interrupted Iyat's work. Hasaballa Osman Muhammad worked as a mechanic for IAT since 2008. He says this is not the first time the workers have gone for a long period without getting paid. In the past, IAT also promised to pay their back wages, but the company never made good on that pledges.
So at this juncture, we have decided to seek law. That is why we have presented our petition to the labor office. And through them, if our money is not paid, they might take the case to the court.
The undersecretary of the South Sudan Ministry of Roads and Bridges, Gabriel Makur Maur, admits that the government owes IAT money. He says payments were interrupted because of the unrest that erupted in December last year.
When we have money now to pay when we are struggling to survive. So there is a lot of political instability in the country. Even the roads that we are talking about are no longer there because they are washed out and there is no maintenance for it.
IAT Company has been active in South Sudan since 2006. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Washington.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here are some of today's news headlines with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. A group monitoring the ongoing conflict in Syria says overnight airstrikes by a U.S.-led coalition shifted off the Islamic State, instead targeting two other hardline militant groups. The Britain-based Syrian Observatory for Human Rights said attacks from yesterday to today hit the Nusra Front in northwestern Syria's Idlib province. The air raid mark only the second time the al-Qaeda-linked rebels have been targeted since the anti-Islamic State air raids began in September. Israel is tightening security in Jerusalem and the West Bank following a series of deadly incidents in which Palestinians rammed cars into Israelis. Yesterday, a Palestinian man plowed through a Jerusalem light rail platform, killing one person and wounding nine others. Hours later, a Palestinian motorist wounded three Israeli soldiers when he rammed into them on a road between Hebron and Bethlehem. And finally, a bombing near Egypt's presidential palace in Cairo wounded one passerby early today in the latest of a deadly trio of attacks in and around the capital overnight. The worst explosion was on a train late last night in Manufia Governorate, north of Cairo, that killed two police officers and a civilian. At least 11 others were wounded. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Damme.
And that's our show for this Thursday. We leave you with the song Red Red Wine by Buyout Rhythm.
Come to my day, makes me forget that I still need a soul. Red Red Wine. No memories don't go. I'd have thought that with time, thoughts of you would leave my head. I was wrong, and I find just one thing makes me forget.
I say, come back to me. Holy bugger, wanna check me? I say, come back to me. Holy bugger, wanna check me? Girl look good, and the girl look fine. mind. Although she just play with me mind. Forward me I go and me not rewind. She have to come back someday sometime. Long, long time we no have a nice time. She a go on like me just commit a crime. One in the crease and me one in the pine. Alongside a small glass of red wine.
We have been listening to Buy Out Rhythm with the song Red Red Wine. I can see everybody in the studio is dancing. I'm John Tanza in Washington.
And I'm Lucy Pony in Washington. Thanks for listening. Join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Want me. I'm